Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A year ago this week, we introduced you to Canela TV, then Spanish language television's newest network. Year one, delivered through smart TV sets and devices, turned out so well and so farther than anticipated. Hear what year two will deliver when Senior Vice President Andres Rincon joins me next here in Nueva York. Also ahead, Amazon and MGM roar together, the Tony Awards leave CBS, sort of, our classic trivia question, and two developments in play from Netflix and Roku. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this program. Happy you're aboard for the series about TV's current and future on a very hot and humid day here in the Big Apple. 86 degrees at the top of the hour. Nice and cool for tomorrow. Rain on Friday, and then a beautiful Memorial Day weekend in tap in this neck of the U.S. of A. Good to have you with us. Good guests coming your way in this opening half hour. We invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Another way you get involved with us is our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you will be able to hear us, and we can hear you or see or with your thoughts in the chat room back. Again, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. So simple. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker tune in the screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Andres Rincon from Canela Media joins me here in the Big Apple after these news notes. For the second week in a row, we've got an engagement of two TV content powerhouses. Amazon will pay $8.5 billion for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, the legendary movie studio whose current TV series portfolio includes The Handmaid's Tale, Fargo, and Survivor. Amazon also will get control of pay network Epix and several multicast channels. The announcement came before Amazon's annual shareholder meeting, which continues at this hour. I quote, "We can reimagine and develop that IP, that's intellectual property, for the 21st century," unquote, noted Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos at the meeting. Again, I quote, "It's going to be a lot of fun work, and people who love stories are going to be big beneficiaries," unquote. The deal is expected to be completed next year following regulatory review. Bezos also confirmed at the meeting that he will end his run as Amazon's chief executive officer July 5th, succeeded by Andy Jassy. The Tony Awards, one of the top four entertainment award events annually on broadcast television, will go off broadcast for the first time ever this September. Sort of. Follow along. Paramount Plus will take over coverage of the Tonys September 26th with a two-hour live special from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Then CBS, the home of the Tonys since 1978, will present a two-hour Broadway back special where the top three Tony honors, Best Play, Musical, and Revival, will be given out live. Here's a roundup of HBO Max developments. The mega content venture will be introduced in 39 Latin American and Caribbean territories next month. Projected launch date, June 29th. Elsewhere, a new animated series adapting the popular Garbage Pail Kids trading cards of the 1980s, which got Toon Life in 1987, is in the works. And popular dramedy Generation will return June 17th to complete its first season. Now some quickies. More Amazon news. It will begin season two of anthology series Modern Love August 13th. Just in, NBC will introduce four new game and competition series this summer, starting with Small Fortune Memorial Day night. The others are Capital One College Bowl, Ultimate Slip and Slide, and Family Game Fight. Almost $3.5 million has been crowdfunded so far for two adventure series, The Wing Feather Saga, from Angel Studios, 8 days to go with this campaign. And the production company overseeing NBC's American Ninja Warrior, A. Smith & Company, is behind a live-action adaptation of mobile game Temple Run. Around for a decade, Temple Run has been downloaded for play more than 2 billion times worldwide. And that is news notes for today. When we first turned our ears to Canela TV a year ago, we had on the line Isabel Rafferty. She is the founder of that service, and she remains the only woman to lead a Spanish-language television service or television venture. We try to get her on this particular review and preview of what's coming up from Canela. Unfortunately, or I should say fortunately, she could not make it. Why? Because she just gave birth to a new member of her family. But right now we have somebody who just joined Canela and somebody we've had on this program before. At the time, he was with LATV. The service has gone through so many formats over the last 20 years. In fact, it marks its 20th anniversary this year, and we'll talk more about that in a bit. He is now the new Senior Vice President of Sales at Canela, and joining me here in New York is Andres Rincon. Andres, hola, welcome to the program.
Hi, Simon. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me here. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Same here, Andres, and congratulations on your new role with Canela TV and Canela Media. Why do you think Canela has done so well in its first year, going from being one service on smart TV sets and smart devices to a whole group of services with Canela TV as the mothership?
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, I think I think it's a combination of multiple factors. Obviously, as you know, or as we all know, Hispanics really are at the forefront of technology, and they are consuming and streaming content, up to par with, actually, 7 out of 10 Hispanics are consuming streaming content through streaming platforms. So again, being that our audience is at the forefront of technology, that has definitely helped us. But I also, the fact that we launched Canela TV last year, right around this time in the middle of COVID, also accelerated our growth, given that everyone was at home, and it just completely skyrocketed.
How did the pandemic, Andres, impact not only getting the service off the ground, but having it grow?
I got to say, it was definitely difficult times, I will say, because brands and everything stopped. The whole world stopped, and advertisers had to take a pause. So it was definitely uncertain times for everyone. But for a startup like Canela, obviously, we didn't know what was going to happen. I think that the fact that we continue to move forward with the launch of Canela TV, because we saw the need for our communities to have access to a free streaming service like Canela TV. So I think the pandemic, in a way, has definitely helped us grow. And it, just like we've seen it across the board on any other streaming platform, the consumption has literally exponentially has grown across the board. And now we're becoming that household name here in the U.S. We are seeing that Latinos are, obviously, they might have access to some SVOD platforms, but they're also looking for AVOD platforms, platforms that are 100% ad-supported like Canela TV, and that's where we're playing a bigger role.
Mm-hmm. Talk about where Canela TV, the mothership, stands. What kind of format, what kind of programming does it have, and how is it doing in terms of, let's say, with particular groups of advertisers?
Yeah, no, of course. I think, obviously, let me just start by giving you a little bit more background on Canela Media itself. Obviously, we are, as you mentioned, the only minority-owned and female-owned company in our competitive space. We are, we are a digital media tech company, and we are leading our efforts with Canela TV, obviously, as you mentioned. We were one of the first AVOD entertainment platforms built exclusively for U.S. Latinos by Latinos. So I think that really gives us a better understanding, and we fully have the nuances of the marketplace needs and how we, what kind of content is needed in this space right now. Separately from Canela TV, we also have Canela Media, where we are reaching more than 22 million unique Hispanics across 180 premium Spanish language sites that are 100% exclusive to us here in the United States. So as I said before, we're a data-driven company that really knows our audience and has a full understanding of how to establish those deep, meaningful connections that are culturally relevant with U.S. Hispanics. In terms of Canela TV, we are growing exponentially. We just had our upfront last week, as I believe that you were part of, and also we were part of the NewFront 2 weeks before that, where we announced a lot of great new content that we have coming up. You know, in terms of classic films, we have Canela Originals coming up next year. We are launching a new vertical within Canela TV called Canela Music. We are strengthening our sports programming. We have News Now, Canela Kids. We have a lot that we can definitely dive deeper into in this conversation.
And in a moment, we're going to talk more about Canela News, about the music format, and about Canela Originals, which is coming up starting next year with several original series and what that is going to look like. So we're going to get to that momentarily. Andrew Kahn is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He is the new Senior Vice President of Sales at Canela Media and joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy year round for us, too. 86.3 the top of the hour here in New York, and we'd like to hear from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. This is the second of three episodes we are doing this week. I hope some of you had a chance to hear our episode on Monday with David Lumley from Dallas Opera Television, a very interesting service on smart TV sets and devices, and our very good friend Shelley Palmer, the owner of the Palmer Group, talking about how blockchain, cryptocurrency, NFTs, and crowdfunding may impact TV more than we all believe. So if you missed that episode, check out our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. We have our third episode coming your way on Friday, a couple of guest possibilities in play, and we already have some interesting people coming your way on our first episodes in June. Next week we'll be with you Tuesday and Friday. On Tuesday, we'll bring you the head of a new venture called Wondrium. His name is Paul Sujic. It's a very interesting mix of educational, instructional, and documentary programming on smart TV sets and smart devices. And then among our guests on our episode next Friday, we'll have the creator executive producer of the CW's upcoming new series, The Republic of Sarah, Jeffrey Paul King. You could say it's the CW's most unique new venture since Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and it may take its place in that sort of hall of fame for the CW. And also, coming up a week from Monday, we'll meet a producer who is working on two ABC shows at the same time this summer, Holy Moly, and the new celebrity revival of The Dating Game. His name is Charles Wachter, and you'll hear him live. That's coming up a week from Monday, June 7th, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Andres, one of the things that we learned out of these upfronts and new fronts is there is a big, and I do mean a big interest, in launching Spanish-language news channels. Estrella has launched one. Byron Allen is going to launch a weather channel in Espanol this summer. He's also working on a Spanish language news channel that's going to launch this summer. Talk about Canela News and how you see it differentiated from these upcoming services and what's already out there now in terms of 24-hour news.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, I think, you know, we at Canela TV launched the first free live streaming news for U.S. Latino cord cutters. We, you know, I like to credit us for starting the trend. There was a need for free news, for Latinos to have access to free news. If there was any hesitation for Latinos to cut the cord, it was because they didn't have access to free news. So we saw the need to invest in our communities. We know that news is obviously extremely important, and especially right now, given all the social media information that we see out there, we felt the need to be able to provide free news to the Hispanic community. We launched back in March with our news, and you know, our news is live every day at 6 p.m. and repeats at 9 p.m. And while we knew again that it was not necessarily going to be Canela's top revenue generator, we knew that we had to do it for the commitment to the community. We do have two very sponsorable segments within Canela News, one of them being our sportscast, obviously covering all sports that are relevant to U.S. Hispanics. And then we also have our happy news or that which runs on Fridays. It's a segment that we have weekly, and it's just basically inspirational stories and just a great way to start the weekend with Buenas Noticias. I think it's a huge market, and we are seeing new entrants going into this space as well.
Do you see the news programming expanding, whether it is offering more, let's say, an hour-long newscast or a two-hour newscast block as opposed, or multi-hour block as opposed to a half, I guess this is half-hour shows, half-hour at 6, half-hour at 9. And also, do you see other informational programming, let's say Canela TV launching a 60 Minutes kind of program for a news magazine?
We, at this point, we are staying with a 30-minute format. Obviously, it can change as we see, consumers' behavioral and how they're, consuming the news. And however, right now, we're staying to the 30-minute format. We are looking at possible content opportunities in terms of, as I said before, we have Buenas Noticias, but we are looking into having separate segments that are more educational in terms of, in the health, health and finance, health and fitness sectors, which are of high interest for a lot of brands. So we are looking to grow our content. Might not necessarily be within Canela News, but it might be new content that is more informative and educational for our audience.
Now, your newest effort at multi-channel television, if you will, is Canela Music. I understand it is a set of services, each one devoted to a specific musical genre. Give us more explanation on it.
Yes, of course. So we have we're extremely excited about Canela Music, which is set to launch on September 15th, right on time for Hispanic Heritage Month. Basically, Canela Music will be distributed via 7 exclusive linear channels, also on video on demand on Canela TV, and it will also have its own dedicated app on Canela Music. We are, as you mentioned, we're going to have 7 exclusive linear channels within Canela Music. We are also going to be creating original and branded content, which is a very exciting opportunity for us at Canela to be able to start producing our own content. So, for example, we're going to have one of our branded content segments that we have within Canela Music is United by the Rhythm, right, where we take a look at how Latin artists are getting involved with their communities, in education, and how they are using their influence to help their communities and help others, right? So, for example, we might create content around Shakira and what she's doing in terms of her Pies Descalzos Foundation, or Marc Anthony and his school efforts in Puerto Rico. So that's some of the, content that might be within United by the Rhythm. We also have Con Sazón, for example, which is kind of like that blend between cooking show and music, right, where we're basically going to be interviewing artists and with a chef as they're cooking a meal. And in between, while the food is being cooked, we're going to have them singing or featuring their new songs or videos. So we do have a lot of really exciting opportunities within Canela Music. I think that given that this is one of the main passion points for U.S. Hispanics, so far the feedback that we receive from brands and advertisers and agencies alike has been tremendously positive. And this is, I will say, this is our hottest item at the moment after we announced it last week at the upfront.
Are there any plans to get on the bandwagon and do programming or any other way to spotlight two of the big movies that are coming up this year, both involving major Latino themes or casts, In the Heights and West Side Story?
You mean creating content around that, or?
Yeah, creating content or in some way aligning content opportunities around one of both movies.
So we are obviously working closely with studios to see if there are opportunities that align. But what I can tell you, Simon, is that we are looking at, we're going to be launching our Canela Originals in 2022, which it's our content 100% with the idea of telling stories that are relevant to U.S. Hispanics. I think that's one of our big goals, is to be able to create this series or short film content that will inspire our next generation of Latinos by telling aspirational stories of our community. I think as a Latino myself, and speaking on behalf of the community, I think we are tired of seeing the same rhetorical stories about narcos and drugs and Latinos that are being put in the kitchen or behind a bar. So we want to change that narrative, and that's what we're looking to do with Canela Originals as of first quarter of 2022.
Yeah. I have another question about that. We're going to get to that in a second. Just speak pause. If you have a question or comment, our remaining moments with our guest, Andres Rincon. He's the Senior Vice President of Sales at Canela Media, which involves Canela TV, also involves nightly newscasts, and coming up, a set of Canela Music channels and more to come. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And coming up for our next half hour, our classic trivia question of the week, and a comment about two developments that you ought to keep your eye on because they very well could impact the future of television, one from Netflix and the other from Roku. Andres, there is an ongoing controversy, and I've raised this on and off on this program and elsewhere, about the fact that 40 years after Latino television really started, Spanish language TV started with Univision, at that time SIN back in 1980, that we still don't have a pipeline of original Spanish-language scripted television shows produced in the United States with U.S. Latinos on both sides of the camera, producing, writing, creating, directing, and acting. What can you say about Canela Originals to this community of Latino producers in the United States that want to be part of a network like this? What is the message to them about what Canela Originals will do?
I think that's an excellent, excellent question. I think, as I said before, it's been way too long. I'm not sure why it has taken so long, but I am very excited that we are going to be bringing this new content to market. I think, just to stay in line with Isabel's vision of the company and what she wants to accomplish in terms of really being able to develop these inspirational, aspirational stories. That is the main reason why we are going with our Canela Originals, in terms of, so that we can help promote Latino producers, Latino talent, up-and-coming Latino talent that is so often overlooked in Hollywood right now, and with the stories that are being told. And the reality is that, Univision and Telemundo, they do a great job at producing content that is, again, outside of the United States, that does not involve necessarily U.S. Latino content or producers or directors. So our main goal is to be able to change that and to be able to give a voice to U.S. Latino talent.
And certainly that talent pool is growing because more and more Latinos are forming production companies. There certainly are a lot of production companies out there in motion picture and TV studios that would love to do Spanish language television in the U.S. as well as elsewhere around the world. And given the fact that the pandemic is now finally being kicked to kingdom come, that more and more production places and U.S. states from New York, from New York to Chicago to Albuquerque, et cetera, are now able to get production off the ground. So we'll see what happens there. Two other areas I want to get to. One, there was a real push since the start of May with the new fronts and the upfronts to really get advertisers to pay attention. And if they don't have advertisers who are not in Spanish language TV or bilingual media, to get in. Donna Speciale, the new head of ad sales at Univision, really made this going. Estrella Media made it. Isabel with Canela made it. What kind of reaction are you getting to this new push to get advertisers who have not gotten into Spanish language television to get in?
I mean, if they have not gone into Spanish television, it's, you know, it's, again, we are 60 million plus strong, 20% of the U.S. Population. I think it's about, you know, it's way overdue, it's way past time, and we are inviting those advertisers that are not part of the conversation to definitely jump in because they're missing a big part of the U.S. population. I think, you know, not... Just to hone into one of the points you made in terms of Spanish language television, I think it's also about being in culture, right? Because that's what also makes Canela TV different is the fact that we are not language agnostic. We are a truly bilingual, bicultural platform that speaks to the U.S. Hispanic. So, you know, it's about creating those that connection with the U.S. Hispanic audience in culture more than in language.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will see. As Don Special Univision pointed out, there are about 400 national brands and advertising companies, advertisers, that are now involved with Spanish language television. That's the most ever, and yet there's 1,900 national advertisers running on national television services of all kinds, broadcast, cable, multicast, and, of course, increasingly, smart TV set and smart TV device distributed programming services. From LA TV, a service that started as a cable service in Los Angeles, a regional service, then became national, then became a broadcast network, a multicast network, a cable network. It now is 20 years young. We hadn't heard from them in 2 years since their last upfront event here in New York, which I believe is at the Paramount Theater near Broadway. Give us an update on LA TV. You know, do you still hear from the people there, and what is going on with that?
Yes, thank you. I definitely keep in touch with them. They are a great, great group of friends. It's being led, the efforts right now are being led by Gisela Forrip. As far as I know, LATV is thriving. They're doing fantastic. So we're very happy for them. Again, we are very, it's only a handful of us that are minority owned in the space. And I think that we are, you know, always, especially right now, supporting each other tremendously with all the DEI efforts that are happening. All of those conversations where brands are looking to embrace and to have a conversation with minority-owned companies. So it's been really interesting to see the development and the movement and seeing, you know, how all of these brands are engaging us. So we have been in multiple conversations alongside with our friends at LA TV.
Mm-hmm. And incidentally, LA TV, anybody out there from that service, we'd love to have you back on. We've had you on a number of times over the years that we've been doing this program, 13 and a half at the last count. So we'd love to have you back. I did have a chance to see the website, and it looks terrific, and there's a lot of good shows. Some are bilingual, some are English, some are Spanish. It's a great variety of shows on LA TV, and congratulations on them reaching two decades of existence. And finally, give us an update on Isabel. How is mother-child family doing?
Isabel is doing absolutely amazing. I think she is very much enjoying this time with her baby girl. She's also, I know she's also very much eager to get back to work at some point, but she's doing fantastic. You know, Isabel is fearless. She's always looking for new and innovative ways to change and evolve Canela TV, Canela Media. So I'm sure that when she's ready to come back, she's going to have a lot of new and cool ideas for us to execute. But other than that, I mean, I think, everything is good. Everything is good with Isabel. And again, thank you so much for having me on your show today, for having Canela Media being part of this conversation. Thank you for covering our upfront. And as I said before, we are very excited. It's been 1 year of Canela TV, and we are growing. We are growing exponentially. We just launched in Mexico as well, and we are looking to roll out Canela Media throughout the rest of Latin America by the end of December of this year. We're going to end up in Brazil. So lots of exciting news for Canela Media and Canela TV.
And, Andres, we're looking forward to covering it. And, again, thank you to Isabel for coming on our program nearly a year ago. We were one of the first people anywhere to have Canela TV represented and showcased, and I want to thank Isabel for the opportunity to do that, and of course wish her and her family the very, very best going forward, and congratulations on her new member of the family. If you want to know more about Canela TV and its parent company, Canela Media, two places to go on the web, www.canela.tv, the C-A-N-E-L-A.tv, and www.canelamedia.com, the www.canela.tv, and www.canelamedia.com. Also, check out my recent review of the Canela TV upfront that took place a week ago, plus that's at MediaVillage.com, www.mediavillage.com. If you want to hear the original interview that we did with Isabel Rafferty a year ago, go to blogtalkradio.com/televised and check out our May 29th episode. That's our May 29th episode of 2020. That's it. Again, blogtalkradio.com/televised, our homepage. Andre, thank you so much for coming in and giving us the scoop about what is going on present and future with your new company. Congratulations on your new role there. Again, Isabel and the rest of the crew for what they're up to and what they're going to be doing in the year ahead, which we look forward to covering. And all the very, very best to you, Andres. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you so much, and looking forward to coming back.
Zamir, hasta luego. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Andres Rincon from Canela Media joining me here in New York. When we come back, classic trivia question of the week. And those two developments, one from Roku, one from Netflix, that could be very much a part of television's future. We'll get to all that after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com. Together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you want a great time every weekday morning, got one for you. Kings in the Morning, Jake King and his crew do a wonderful job. Talk, music, guests, a whole lot more. Kings in the Morning, tomorrow and every weekday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best be charged 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this special Wednesday edition, our next to last one of May 2021. Simon Akbon with you live from New York. Happy to have you aboard. Coming up, our classic trivia question of the week and a look at two developments that very well may impact the future of TV. They're bubbling under the radar screen at Netflix and Roku, and why you should pay attention. But first, we have some words from our very fine sponsor at Audible.com. You'll tell me a lot about Amazon near the top of the program with their new marriage upcoming to MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Well, one of the Amazon shows coming up is The Wheel of Time, their adaptation of the popular science fiction series, which incidentally has already gotten the go-ahead for a second season before the first season is scheduled to debut this fall. And if you'd like to check out the book that started all called The Eye of the World by its author Robert Jordan, you can, because it's now in audiobook form, and you can get it for a trial run with Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the, I mean the, leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Verbal, etc. All you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. And what do you get for that? 1 month trial, a free audiobook to hear, health and wellness information to keep, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And if you're already an Amazon Prime member, good news for you. You get two audiobooks for the trial of one. And one of those books could come from the growing collection of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcasts, that's the Broadway, Off-Broadway Regional Theater, and great one-woman and one-man shows. So how about making today or this Memorial Day weekend a great opportunity to hear how Audible.com can transform the way you can hear the world? And don't forget, audiobooks make a fantastic gift that lasts a lifetime for you or someone you love. And, of course, Memorial Day weekend's coming up. Great time to check it out. So do so at audibletrial.com/televised. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We introduced it on our last episode Monday. We have three prizes in play, two Babylon 5 soundtracks from that popular science fiction series that was very into syndication and TNT for five seasons, the music by its composer, Christopher French. And we also have the first season of the popular award-winning series, Departures, that originally starred on Outdoor Live Network, later was carried on National Geographic channels worldwide. And all that can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name one of two television series starring Gene Kelly. One of them was an adaptation of an Oscar-winning 1940s Best Picture, and the other was a variety series. and both star Gene Kelly. Name either one. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on our Facebook page, Simon Applebaum by name, or on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. This is UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to play in, you got to win. So give it a go, and all the very best. Like I said, in order to play in and win, play in. There you go. And again, all the very best. And now, a comment. No question, the big news this week came out today, Amazon paying $8.45 billion to pick up Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. And those thousands of hours of great movies and those thousands of hours of television episodes, which will make thousands of possibilities of intellectual property to Amazon to showcase in new television series, new films, and who knows what else. However, there's two developments that have come to light, at least to my life, over the last 48 hours that really you should pay attention to. One of them is from Netflix, and the other involves Roku. Let's start with Netflix first. 2 years ago, Netflix made a deal to buy a comic book company called Miller World, M-I-L-L-A-R-W-O-R-L-D. Now, if you're in the know about comic books or graphic novels, Miller World is highly respected in the field for having some of those unique characters and storylines in that world. Now, when Netflix decided to buy that comic company, there were a lot of people who were very suspicious, very skeptical. What is, ha, 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 Netflix doing? They are going to get their butt kicked. Why? Because there's so many companies in that field. There's Dark Horse, there's Image, there's Marvel, there's DC, there's Archie, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Netflix right now is sort of having, if not the last laugh, a good laugh. Why? Because a few weeks ago, they launched their first series off of the Miller World family of comics called Jupiter's Legacy, one of the most popular titles. And so far, this live-action speculative fiction series is doing quite well and probably will be renewed for a second season. It's one of their top titles. So Netflix, and by the way, there will be more from the Mark Millar gang in the near future and far future for Netflix. So that's why you should take to the bank this report that just came out in the last 48 hours, that Netflix is looking to establish a gaming service, or if not a gaming as in video game service, something along the lines of being a video game publisher. Now, I can understand why Netflix would be interested in this. Why? Because there are other people already doing it, the idea of putting video games on the television set. You have Apple with Apple Arcade, over 150 games at last count. There's Google, which last year launched Stadia, or Stadia, S-T-A-D-I-A. And there's also still the talk that before the end of the year, Xbox will put some of their games off the console and put them through the television set to you. Now, the idea of Netflix getting into the video game market, as crowded as it is really enticing. Think about it. First of all, Netflix would have the infrastructure to create, as well, put on video games. They've got the money. They already spend billions of dollars on TV content. They have the interactive infrastructure. More about that in a second. And they have the wherewithal to say, you know what, developers, come on in, and we'll accept your titles. Bring us your concepts. Bring us your new characters. Bring us your new game ideas. We'll not only turn them into video games and put them on the television set, we'll also extend what your games do and make them live-action animated series. Or, by the way, we also have good experience, with interactive television. We did Bandersnatch, the Black Mirror episode that won the Emmy. We did the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt episode last spring. We did You vs. Wild, successful series of interactive programming. And we've got other projects in the works. And we are not done yet. So bring your titles, bring your storylines, bring your action adventure to us, and maybe, just maybe, we'll develop an interactive edge to it. Interactive playing on as a video game or interactive as a live action or animated show. Those are pretty enticing opportunities. And in the video game world, as people know, all it takes is one title, and you make a fortune. So keep your eye on this Netflix move into the video game world. There's a lot of ways they can play this, and you better believe that they will have the team and the talent to play. And when they will play, I promise you, they will play big. And you will be the benefit of it. Not just playing video games, but also live-action animated television, and maybe even interactive versions, too, beyond the game itself. So that's one development to stay on the radar screen. The other is Roku. At the start of the month, Roku did something that really surprised a lot of people and yet did not get the press attention or public attention it should have had, which is to present its first interactive television service, Food Network Kitchen, which has been around for a year and a half. I've talked about this so many times. We had a Food Network Kitchen executive on the program some months back. Food Network Kitchen is the Discovery-Amazon partnership where you can participate in live interactive cooking classes. You can call up recipes on the screen from a library of over 80,000, probably more than that. You can call up individual Food Network shows and other cooking classes from an extensive library. And you can order food, kitchen utensils, and ingredients, and Amazon will ship them to you next day, same day. Roku is the first non-Amazon smart TV device or television set that is running Food Network Kitchen. And it's their first interactive service ever. And if the report I got in the last 48 hours is to be believed, that may be just the beginning of a major move in interactive television. According to a number of reports in various technology websites, Roku wants to hire somebody who will develop a whole home automation enterprise. Now, let's see what home automation is. Home automation, which many people in the world of television consider a ultimate holy grail, is the ability for you at home to automate many of the features of your home or apartment through the television set with a click of your remote control or, thanks to artificial intelligence, voice features like Siri and Alexa, Google Assistant, already available through your television set or device with your voice. And we're talking about turning your lights on and off, controlling your room temperature, adjusting your air conditioning, checking out how your home and apartment is doing with its energy needs, working with the microwave oven, working with the refrigerator or freezer, other appliances, coordinating your home security cameras, or even the equipment you install at your front door to see who's coming or shouldn't be coming. And home automation also includes video chat, the ability to connect directly with people in your life, including your doctor or a teacher, and the opportunity to create virtual worlds, as the folks behind Rival Peak did for Portal TV, Facebook's own smart TV product. So the fact that Roku wants to hire somebody to develop that whole universe beyond just carrying shows or originating shows, as they're now starting to do with the Quibi programming and other things in development, is potentially huge. The smart home marketplace is a big and growing market. And Roku, if they decide to come in, they're coming in with a big rep. More than 53 million people use Roku every day and growing, either as an operating system or television set or as a connected device. And the Roku channel is one of the fastest-growing advertised-supported vehicles around and getting bigger by the day. And again, don't take for granted Food Network Kitchen coming on. If they hire this person in home automation, interactive TV is going to be part of this too. And there is a marketplace for them to be had. And the great thing is, if anybody beside Netflix can turn the public on to interactive programming, Roku can. So keep your ears to the grindstone about Roku and where they want to go in this arena of interactive TV home entertainment. Because if they decide we're going to make a big deal out of this, they could break the marketplace wide open. And going back again to Netflix, if they decide to get into this marketplace, they've got the customer reputation to break that market wide open big for them. And we certainly will keep our ears on your behalf to both developments. And once they break open, we'll invite the executives involved at both Netflix and Roku to come on this program and answer your questions. Speaking of questions, before we go, let's give you that classic trivia question one more time. Gene Kelly starred in two television series. One was an adaptation of a 1940s Oscar-winning movie, and the other was a variety series in the 1970s. Name either one. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And remember, if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post a question tomorrow morning on Facebook at Simon Applebaum. We have several thousand followers, and on Twitter at UBC Simon, TWT, where we have over 755 followers as we speak. Remember, in order to play in, or I should say to win, play in, play your hunch. Don't be shy. You never know. And, of course, all the very best. Again, thank you to Andres Rincon from Canal Media for joining us today, and all the very best again to Isabel Rafferty, the founder and chief executive of that service, on a new addition to her family. And we'll be back with our final episode of May 2021 this Friday, same time, 3 p.m. Pacific. Stay tuned to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter feeds for who that guest or guests will be. And we've got some wonderful guests coming away in June. Don't forget, next week we'll be with you Tuesday because Memorial Day weekend. And Friday, next Tuesday, among our guests, we will have the head of a brand-new smart TV service called Wonderum. His name is Paul Suchet. And then on Friday, among our guests, Jeffrey Paul King, the creator executive producer of the CW's latest new series, The Republic of Sarah. It may be their most unique new program to come on in several years. And coming up a week from Monday, June 7th, we'll have, among others, the executive producer of ABC's Holy Moly going to third season and the brand new celebrity version of an all-time classic, The Dating Game, Charles Wachter. And many, many more people we hope will be joining us in June, which is turning out to be a very, very big month for new television programming. As they say, TV these days, no breaks. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, you want to catch up on any of our episodes this month and so far in 2021, that's where you go. You can also go to our podcast sites, and that is iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, Amazon Music, Burble, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And as always, we love hearing from you. What's your thoughts about what you heard today? What's your thoughts about the Amazon-MGM merger? What's your thoughts about WarnerMedia and Discovery getting together as they did last week thanks to AT&T spinning off WarnerMedia? And what's your thoughts about where TV's at and where it's going? We are all ears, so email me at that address, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, that's not only where you can let us know what you think of the program and our topics, also get involved in our classic trivia question of the week, but it's also where you can check out our regular feature, A Show to Know. Is there a TV show that you like that doesn't get enough attention and it ought to? Well, you let us know. We use the suggestion on the air. You get the credit. But we got to find out from you. So be free and make it happen. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, we love hearing from you, and we do respond within 24 hours. Why? What you say matters, now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate at BTR is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of Enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world, and it makes a great gift for you or someone you love this Memorial Day weekend and beyond. So, for all the details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. For tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your midweek. If you're in the New York area and other places which has the high humidity for the first time in a long while, hang in there. It does get better tomorrow, and a great Memorial Day weekend weather-wise is in store for most parts of the U.S. of A. We will be back less than 48 hours from now at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Block Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. From now until then, please make it safe, whatever you're doing, and make it great, and keep on the trail of linking this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.